You could kindly be seated. Otherwise, it becomes a bit of a distraction. Yeah? If you could just ask the devotees to seat. Okay, so the Bhaktivedanta Research Center aims at being a literary resource, a complete literary resource on Gaudiya Vaishnavism, other forms of Vaishnavism, and Vedic cosmology. So this is our building. This was donated to ISKCON in the year 2000. It's bigger than what it looks here. This was given to us by a gentleman called Mr. Shyam Sukha. He visited here once a couple of years ago, actually. What we have, this is looking from the side. There's a guest house here. Just like you've got a small guest house, we also have one. And then at the front here, we have the library on this level here. So came to us for this purpose in 2008. That was after I met this devotee. His name is Pranava Prabhu. He's a very nice devotee. He's from Sweden. He lives in Stockholm at the current moment. In 2008, I had been asked by the Mayapur Temple of the Vedic Planetarium cosmology team to start a library, Vedic cosmology library, because when we make our presentation of the planetarium, Paul, we'll need a complete reference library so that we can support all the things that we're going to be presenting there. So we thought we'll get an early start. So I was looking around. I found one room in this building this gentleman had given us. And then later on, I met Pranava in Sweden. We were discussing and then to start a Vaishnav Studies Center affiliated with the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. So he was telling me that they were negotiating to buy a private collection of books, some 3,000 books in Calcutta. Those, and he said, well, we're going to have to ship them to England because we have nowhere in Calcutta to keep them. So his plan was to set this center up at the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. So I said, well, you know, that doesn't sound very practical. You're going to get books that are mainly in Bengali and ship them out of Bengal. The, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is centered in Bengal. So it doesn't make any sense. So I said, I think I can get this whole building and we can convert that. We can start your whole library and research center in that building. So he was immediately enthusiastic. And so that's what we did, the building from Mayapur Temple. And I was able to raise the funds to do extensive renovations on it. So Pranava Prabhu, in the meantime, he completed his PhD in 2010. His topic was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his life and his contribution to the Gaudiya Vaishnav movement. He did such a good job of it that he was awarded a prize by Helsinki University for writing the best thesis for the entire Scandinavia. And he's on the basis of that, he went and lectured, and his topic was the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he's our academic director. He's in Calcutta right now studying advanced Bengali. He speaks seven languages. And he can be a very intelligent man. I'm his assistant, basically, in helping to just keep the daily running of the center going. So we started this project together then in 2009. The opening was on June 30th, so that's just exactly 3 years ago. Jai Pitaka Maharaj is one of our biggest. A few months after he had his stroke here in Bombay, he was not really physically fit, but he insisted on coming for the opening because he considers it such an important project. This is Mr. Shyam Sukha, the donor of the building. And of course, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, supporters. So this is what we started with. This was the room that I'd been given for the Vedic Cosmology Library. It was very run down, kind of derelict. The building was not in use, actually. And after 6 months of hard work, this is what we transformed it into. So this is all air conditioned, temperature controlled. On the bookshelves, we can get about 15,000 books. We have a full computer system, our own servers. So we've got our own website. We started off with about 4,000 books. 2,500 was from that collection that Pranava Prabhu had been negotiating for. And then the rest of them that we purchased. So our current catalogue in the last 3 years, we've gone from 4,000 books to about 15,000 books. And plus we've also started a catalogue of digital manuscripts. So I'll explain more about them now. So this is a tutor Prabhu here. He's our English librarian. He's Italian, and his wife is Bengali. For the last 25 years, he's been collecting books. That's his hobby. So he collects anything about Indian religions, Vedic-related texts, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he's got so many books that he didn't know what to do with them. His wife was getting on his case because the whole house was filled with books. So at the beginning of this year, we made an agreement that he could fill our shelves with his books. They're still his books, but we can add them all to our catalog. So he's got 11,000 Vedic-related texts. So we're putting them all on the library shelves now and carefully coding them and cataloging them. So more about those in a second. So that was one of the new acquisitions, 11,000 books from a tutor that we got at the beginning of this year. The next acquisition that we got was Sataputta Prabhu's personal archive. Some of you will know who Sataputta is. This picture was taken in Washington, D.C. when we were visiting there in 1976 in early July. There's Bhaktisvarup Damodar Maharaj, Sataputta Prabhu, Rupanuga Prabhu, and Madhava Prabhu. They were the founding members of what was started up as the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And whilst Prabhupada was there, they took the opportunity to meet together for the first time with Prabhupada and discuss the scientific preaching strategies. So Sataputta Prabhu was a singly intelligent man, PhD in mathematics from Cornell, and a certified genius. So his particular contribution was this Vedic cosmography and astronomy. In the late 1970s, Prabhupada, of course, had given us instructions to build the temple of the Vedic planetarium, but even the leaders of the Bhaktivedanta Institute told Srila Prabhupada in 1977 that we do not think it's possible to figure out the fifth canto in such a way that it can be presented in the Mayapur temple. So they stopped doing it, but Sataputta refused to accept that. In the 80s, he personally worked on it alone, and in 89, he came out with this book, and this was the first time that we really understood that we could present the fifth canto cosmology and cosmography in the Mayapur temple in a way that people could actually appreciate it and understand it. So Sataputta, really, we have a lot to thank him for, because he's written many other books. Maya, the world is virtual reality, using the computer as an analogy for the material world. God and Science, these are many articles that he's written over the years. And this book, Alien Identities, which is very important. Alien Identities is a compilation of modern UFO stories and information. And then he's compared that with descriptions in the Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature that involve interspace travel. When Aniruddha was transported from his palace in Dwarka and taken through the spaceways to the palace of Banasura, because Usa was there and she wanted him as as her husband. And so her personal assistant, I forget her name, she traveled through outer space. She transported, or basically she abducted Annie Reuter from his palace. That means she took him right through the palace walls, through space, deposited him in the palace of Banasura without him knowing. And when he woke up in the morning, that's very similar to the stories of alien abductions that are being reported many times now in the modern age. So that's just one example to show that what we read in the Bhagavatam is actually still going on even in the modern age. So it's a very important book. Sataputta did a wonderful service with that. So unfortunately, he left his body in 2008, but we were able to secure his entire personal boxes of documents and books. And this is one example: ancient India, astronomy, science, world culture and science, contemporary science, another box there, paranormal studies that he used, the material that he used for putting in this book. So we're very fortunate to get his personal archive. Right now, this year, we'll be sorting through that. All of that material has already been scanned. There's about 250 gigabytes of information, and that will be put on our website. So as far as our books go, there's many rare works. I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of what we have. A tutor found in a second-hand bookstore. Those of you that know anything about our Vaishnava history will know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts, was the book that was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1896, the year of Prabhupada's appearance and his university in the world. And this is an original print from 1896. The cover's missing, but a tutor found this in a second-hand bookstore in Calcutta. And he just sent me this week, actually, he just sent me some more pictures of two more that were in the collection that we started our library with. So we've got a couple of copies of that. This is another sample of what a tutor's been collecting. This is from 1885, Chaitanya Chandradaya, a drama in 10 acts by Kavi Karnapura. So many rare books all in our library now. Now, the core of our library, as I mentioned, that collection, was the personal collection of Sundarananda Vidyavinod. He was one of the leading disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was a Sanskrit professor from Dhaka. He later on joined Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who you see seated here in the front. The other devotee is Ananta Vasudeva. So, custodian of the main library of the Gaudiya Math. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started preaching, after some years in Calcutta, they were donated land and a big temple was built at Bagh Bazar. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati spent most of his time in Bagh Bazar, and he had the devotees create a very extensive library, about 3,000 or 4,000 books. And Sundarananda was the custodian of that library. So this is the personal library of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur from the Bagh Bazar mat. What happened was in 1937, when they all started fighting with each other after the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then that library was under threat. One group of opposing devotees raided the Bagh Bazar temple, stole some of that library. So to protect the rest of it, Sundarananda took it all to his home. And he kept it there for many, many years. Later on, he himself also left the Gaudiya Math. The books remained with him. It was his library. And he died in about 1961 or 62. So that library was sitting in his home, rotting away, being eaten by bugs and insects, and of course being affected by acid and humidity and temperature. It was there for nearly 50 years, just sitting there. And then somehow or another, by Krishna's arrangement, we now have that entire collection in the Bhaktivedanta Research Center. These are samples of some things we found a few months ago. One devotee was looking through one book. This photo fell out of it. This is an actual photograph, actually the only photograph that we know of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. This was taken when he was about 120 years old. This is around the time when he confirmed the Yogpit in Mayapur as the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the only known actual photograph of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. We also found about 50 or 60 of these bound up volumes. These are all the periodicals that were published by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the 1920s and 30s. The Nadia Prakash, Sajjan Toshini, Harmonist, the Bhagavat, which was a Hindi publication, etc. So the Nadia Prakash was a daily newspaper. This is the Nadia Prakash. We have, as far as we can see, we have every single copy of the Nadia Prakash that was ever published, and it was bound up in these different volumes. The Bhagwat was a Hindi journal from 1931. So we have practically all the periodicals that were ever published. In those periodicals, as well as philosophical articles, there are many articles about the development of the Gaudiya Math through that period. So there's literally a history of the Gaudiya Math in these pages. So we're preserving those now. We'll be translating them later on. Now, one interesting book that we found is this Bibliotheca Indica, a collection of Oriental works. Very interesting, because there were three distinct layers of pages in that book. So obviously it was some different works that had been bound together. So when we looked inside, the first layer was the Kaushitaki Brahmana Upanishad with commentary. And that was published in 1861. Then the other second layer was the Shankara Vijay, which is again by another commentator, and that was published in 1868. So that's not so interesting for us. You can see these were published by the Asiatic Society of Bengal, and they've been collected together and bound together. But the third section of this book was what was really astonishing. It begins with this: thoughts on popular topics or occasional notes by Babu Kedarnath Dutt, deputy collector and magistrate, Bhaktivinod Thakur. And when we looked inside, there were all these newspaper articles that had been printed in the newspapers in Jagannath Puri in 1871. They were written by Bhaktivinod Thakur, printed in the newspapers, and then either he or somebody else clipped the articles out and stuck them in this book. So not only there's some articles, like this one is an account of the Akras in Puri, there was all these original poems that Bhaktivinod Thakur wrote. This is a famous one: stanzas on the Samaj of Haridas on the seashore at Puri. O born and trained in youth in Muslim creed, thy noble heart to Vaishnav truth did pass, thy holy acts thy candor plead. Is there a soul that cannot learn from thee that man must give up sect for God? So there's 10 verses in that poem. There's a son of a Qazi who lived within a few miles of Delhi. And then it says he took up Vaishnav ways. The Qazis and others met together and ordered him to be beaten very hard in the bazaars of Delhi. We read it in the Chaitanya Bhagwat that when he was being cruelly beaten, enemies might be pardoned. I never knew that till we found this, that it was in Delhi where he was actually beaten in all the marketplaces. There's the rest of the poem. All the poems and articles are signed Asharagrahi Vaishnav. This is Puri, 29th of August. And this poem in particular, of course, the ninth stanza, we all know. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavs die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread a holy life around. Our version of that is, it says the holy names around. But this is probably the first, and this is the original version. And down below again, it says that after leaving Delhi, he came to live in Shantipur on the banks of the Ganges. He came to Nadia, and he met Chaitanya Prabhu. You can see the spelling there. And then it mentions that he went to Puri, and then he was interred by the seashore by Chaitanya Deb. So a very important find. This is, again, you can see it says original poetry and reflections. And this is the famous spend their days in festive mirth and joy. The dazzling, deadly liquid forms their hearts for air employ. So this is all about how even the drunkards can become devotees by following Krishna consciousness. So you can see the condition, of course. This is all caused by bugs. Or we got possession of this just in time. Also in that section of this book, some actual handwriting of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is some stanza that he wrote. I don't know Bengali. But along with that, he included 8 pages of the handwritten horoscope of Lalit Prasad, who was his youngest son. So it seems that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also a very competent astrologer. And this is some of the astrological periods of his son that he had written. This is a letter that he sent home. It mentions something about somebody having some dysentery problem, somebody else is recovering from some fever, and it mentions that tell Bimal Prasad to come and join me. Bimal Prasad, of course, is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's signature at the bottom of the paper there. So very rare, valuable works. This is another sample of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's handwriting. Sundarananda had particularly labeled this so that we know whose handwriting it is. And this was also a really incredible find. This here is a hand-bound, handwritten songbook that Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself did the writing. So these are all his poems and songs. He wrote them all down and they're in this book. So there's about 50 pages handwritten poems by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This also very important. This is an original print of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Again, you can see how yellow these pages, if you open the pages, they literally break in your hands. So we have to be very careful with that. I'll talk about how we're looking after those a little later. Also, we found this one sample of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's personal handwriting. These are a few notes that he was keeping on the life of Lord Chaitanya, probably writing some article, 1407, 1432, 33, 34, 35, 36, and 1437, returned to Puri. So this is the only sample we have of Bhaktisiddhanta's handwriting. This was really amazing. In 1935, the Saraswati Jayashi was published. It was the official biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They were planning to put out 5 volumes, but actually only the first volume was ever published. And that was it. When we went through to do the cataloging in Sundarananda's collection, we found 2 volumes of the unpublished volume number 2. So they'd done some draft printing and then probably given it to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati for corrections, and then it was never ever published. So nobody's ever seen this before. This is virtually an autobiography, because it's a series of interviews with him where he's describing his experiences growing up as a young boy and as a youth in the household of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it starts off there with showing his birth chart. And we are now having this translated, and this will be published. We also found an original print of the first volume of Saraswati Jayashri. So we intend to have them both translated and then bound and published as one official volume of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's personal biography. That should come out next year, we hope. Now, this was really important. I mean, everything in this library is important. There's so many historical documents. This, though, was quite amazing. At the top, it says, "The last wishes of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, 31st of December, 1936, at 10:30 a.m. This is not our Srila Prabhupada. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. And these are the last actual recorded wishes a few hours before he left the planet in the early hours of 1937. So he spoke, somebody wrote these down, and it's signed at the bottom by several witnesses. What's interesting for us is item number 2, form a governing body of 10 to 12 persons for management of the mission's work, but Kunjad Babu will manage as long as he lives. This is the actual record of the instruction to form a governing body commission that Prabhupada always told us about, and which Prabhupada said the failure to follow this instruction led to the destruction of the Gaudiya Math as a united preaching force. So this is the actual instruction as it was written down and witnessed. Other interesting items there. Bhaktivinod Thakur commanded me to look after my mother, which I could not do. I ask you to complete the, and I think that's Samadhi, and fix a tablet with the words, "In memory of my affectionate mother." It may cost 2,000 to 3,000 rupees. That's a lot of money in those days. So he wanted to make a memorial to his mother, the wife of Bhaktivinod Thakur. Number 4 is kind of interesting. It says, "Paramanand, you should have been pathetic." So these are the last thoughts of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. There's about 13 items. The first one there, it says, "Sundarananda will edit the Manjusha." So this is a very important work. Bhaktisiddhanta personally wrote it. Information about previous Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Manjusha. It was being edited at that time, and he ordered that should be published. What happened apparently was that after a couple of years, Sundarananda gave the Manjusha to Haridas Das, who was in Nabadweep, who was publishing many Gaudiya Vaishnav works, and he published it, written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I'm just vaguely trying to remember there was some comment that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati made, that if this work does not get published, then I'm leaving the planet. It was that important. Other things that we found, the Jyotir Vid article on astronomy that was being published for 3 or 4 years by Bhaktivinod Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So we found, we had never seen any copies of it, but we found several of those copies bound together. And also there's a commentary on Bhaskaracharya's. We found also the same Jyotir Vid, an entire year's worth of publication, the third year from 1904. It says that it's edited by K. Dutt and Sri Bimal Prasad Siddhanta Saraswati. So it seems that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was using the name Siddhanta Saraswati before he took sannyas in 1918, when he added the word Bhakti to the front and became Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So this is very important for us, because this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's view of astronomy, which we will need insights into the Vedic Planetarium in Mayapur. This will give us a lot of valuable information about how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself was viewing the universe from an astronomical point of view. This is the first printing on the Gaudiya Printing Works, Calcutta, which is the Gaudiya Math's printing works from 1925, an original print of the Nabadweep Dham Mahatmya. You'll notice that this rubber stamp, Sundarananda Vidyavinod Dhaka, that's in all the books. Now, this is the map that I referred to earlier on. It says here from 1917-1918, it's the Government of India survey map of Nadia. You can see here the Ganges. This is the Jalangi. So here's the Ganga, here's the Jalangi, and in the middle, Mayapur. Prabhupada mentions that's the old spelling of Mayapur. So you can see here, there's a dirt track. There's Balaldigi, Bamanpukur, Mahesh Ganj, Swarup Ganj, Nabadweep. In 1918, there was absolutely nothing in Mayapur. Now ISKCON is around here. The Yog Pit's around here. The Chaitanya Mat is around here somewhere. So interesting bit of history there. So that's a few of the rare things that we found. There's many, we have about 350 very rare. I've just given you a little glimpse of those. Now what we intend to do, of course, is publish as much as possible. We think about 50% of Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's works are still not translated into English. So that's a task that we want to undertake in the coming years. We'll have two imprints, one academic and one for the general public and devotees. The first thing that we're going to start with is the personal diary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This really blew us away when we found this. I showed Purant Acharya at the Gopinath Gaudiya Math, and I said, Maharaj, you know, in the Gaudiya Math, you must be having some copies of this, right? He said, copies? He said, we didn't even know this existed. This is the only known copy of the personal diary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It goes from 1904 to 1936. So we're having this is not the original. Sundarananda apparently made a copy of it. We don't know where the original. We are now translating this as I speak. This will be published in November of this year. So another aspect, of course, of the library, there are many manuscripts. It's been a big issue in India for the last 20 years, the destruction of all the original manuscripts. So last year we began a program of visiting temples and libraries to photograph as many old manuscripts as we could. We've done about an idea of what we're looking for. This is a tree bark manuscript. This is a palm leaf or tal manuscript, and this is handmade paper. So they're the three main types. These are about 200 to 300 years old. This one was found floating in the Ganges with about 20 others. It was rescued and then given to us. You can see that even after being in the water and after 200 or 300 years, you can still very clearly read everything. This ink is indelible. So people nowadays don't appreciate this heritage. Many families, they have no place for these manuscripts anymore because everything's been printed in books. So they're literally throwing out their old manuscripts in the river or they're burning them for firewood. This is one place that we went to, Chaitanya Mandir in Patna. This is Bharati Roy. She's our chief in the field researcher. And they had many manuscripts. This building is, as you can see, is very old and dilapidated. Their nephew, there's a couple that look after this temple. They're about 75 years old. They have nobody to help them. Their nephew had started going into the library, helping himself to the manuscripts, and then selling them for pocket money. So we got there, we photographed everything. We showed them how to wrap them up and look after them nicely. Another place that we went to was Jaipur, the Govindaji Mandir. He allowed us to come and photograph about 14 manuscripts in their library. From there, they went to Vrindavan, Sringavat. And these beads that you see at the bottom left are the actual Japamala of Srila Jiva Goswami. And when Bharati Roy got there, our researcher, Indradumna Maharaj, was staying in Vrindavan. And the pujari of this temple, in which he was instructed that there's this very nice boy, devotee, his name is Indradumna, he's from ISKCON. So he's here in Vrindavan. You allow him to chant on my beads. So he was actually, the pujari found Indradumna Maharaj and told him that Jiva Goswami's beads are there. You are now allowed to chant on them. So he actually chanted one round of japa on Jiva Goswami's beads. He introduced us to the pujari and we photographed all of their manuscripts. From there in February, we went north from Mayapur to Bharatpur to Gadadhar Pandit Sripat. Indradumna Maharaj Sri Tanmoy Goswami, he's the man in charge. This is Bharati Roy, our researcher. She's very enthusiastic. She's been working on and off with ISKCON for about 30 years. She's 64 years old right now, but she's still very energetic. This is Ashish, he's our photographer. This is Pragosh Prabhu that many of you will know, the book distributor from America. He came with us. And this is Janakaraj Prabhu, who is our general manager of the BRC. So this is a line drawing of Gadadhar Pandit on the wall of the temple. You can see the temple is quite broken down. So what we were there for, we'll see in a minute, but this is one of the deities. This is Sri Mayo Krishna. Wherever Gadadhar Pandit traveled, he wore this deity around his neck. There's Krishna. There's Radharani, you can just make her out. And there is Lalita on the other side. So wherever he was hanging around his neck, now they're in this temple. But what we went for was this. They have this one manuscript. This is personally written by Gadadhar Pandit. See, beautiful handwriting. This is the Bhagavad Gita, the verses of the Gita. This is just one palm leaf. In this, there's supposed to be one palm leaf which was written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. It's not the verses, but what it is, it's he counted up the number of verses. So many verses were spoken by Sanjaya Krishna. So many verses were spoken by Arjuna. It's all written down on this one palm leaf. So we're trying to get them to allow us to photograph the whole manuscript before it gets destroyed any further, so that we can preserve it. They're kind of inclined to help and allow us to do that, but they want to the temple because the temple is actually in a bad state of repair. So we're trying to help them out. I'm trying to raise some money so that we can do that. And in exchange, we want to photograph the whole manuscript. But there are three other places that they claim that they have samples of Lord Chaitanya's. So one place is the Gauranga Tal Mandir in Navadvip. You see next to Lord Gauranga there on the altar, there's a box. In that box, there is the manuscript. That manuscript is the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, again written by Gadadhar Pandit. And this is said to have comments written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So we were allowed to photograph the entire manuscript. There's about 483 images. One of them, in the middle, you can see Gadadhar Pandit's handwriting. And the top line and the bottom line and the end are said to be the handwriting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have now photographed the entire manuscript. The second place is Danura Bardaman, which is the Sripat of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Of course, he is the author of the Chaitanya Bhagwat. And they say that this is the original there since the time of Vrindavan Das Thakur. They won't allow us to photograph this manuscript for various reasons, but you can see this is the handwriting of Vrindavan Das Thakur. This, though, which is with it, is said to be the handwriting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's just this slither of a palm leaf, and fortunately laminated it with plastic, so it made it difficult to photograph it, but at least we can see the characters quite clearly. And then the third place is Ambika Kalna. This is said to be the whole Bhagavad Gita written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is one palm leaf from that. Took one out and put the other one back. So they allowed us to take this one photograph of this palm leaf. So with these three samples, we want to get a handwriting expert in Bengali to look at them and see if there is any correspondence between the three. If they are, and we think that they're all written by the same person, it doesn't mean that it is the handwriting of Lord Chaitanya, because the simple fact is that nobody has a sample of a known sample of Lord Chaitanya's handwriting. These temples claim it, but then, you know, in Nabadweep they claim that they have the original birth site of Lord Chaitanya. But we know the real birth site is in Mayapur. So you have to be careful with these claims. But anyway, still, it's very intriguing. And we are trying to do our little bit in preserving these important works. So as far as preservation goes, we're using three methods: lamination, engraving, and scanning. So the lamination means using paper lamination. So that we use this very fine, very gossamer-like, acid-free paper. You take a printed page, and then on the front and back, you laminate it with this special paper. That means that then you can handle the original works without breaking it or destroying a thicker piece down the side, and that enables us to bind the book back together when we finish with the lamination. Of course, that lamination is opaque. It's not completely transparent, so you get this background when you do the scanning. But using Photoshop, you can remove the background and you can enhance the text, and that makes it readable again. So we have, since March, a program of getting all the works that we have laminated. This is a sample from the Nadia Prakash. You can see it's very brittle. This is newspaper print, which is not the best of kind of paper anyway. And this is from 1928 or 29. So we've hired a team. This team have worked for the National Library for many years. They've worked for the Asiatic Society for many years doing this laminate. You take an original work, you take off the old binding, then you lay down the laminate, you lay down the page to be laminated. When they put a couple down, they paste them down, then they put the strips for the binding. Then they put down two more pages. Then they put the top sheet on. You can see how fine it is. You can see straight through it. They paste it down with water-soluble glue. What that means is that if you ever want to remove the lamination, you put it in water. After 5 minutes, the glue dissolves. You can strip off the laminated sheet, and then you have the original sheet. So after it's dried off, we trim it off, and you can see here two pages of the Nadia Prakash waiting to be bound. The next process for preservation is engraving onto zinc metal sheets. We found one place in Calcutta where they can exactly reproduce anything on a zinc metal sheet. So any handwriting, any drawing, you can reproduce. Take an image, digital image, they clean it up, they remove all the glitches, all the marks, etc. This is, again, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's handwriting. They then print it out. You can see the other extra stuff has been removed. And then they make a photographic negative. So with that negative, they take the zinc sheet, they put a chemical on it that eats into the zinc. Then they put the whole thing out in the sunshine. The sun shines through the clear portions of the negatives and neutralizes the acid underneath it. So it stops it from burning the metal. Where the sun cannot shine through, the dark areas, the acid continues to eat through. After some time, they strip off the negative, they clean off the acid, and you end up with a metal plate, which is an exact reproduction of the original handwriting on the manuscript. Important, because if you have really important stuff, of course, the original manuscripts, no matter what you do, will eventually rot away. They'll crumble to dust. But a metal sheet reproduction may last literally 1,000 or 2,000 years more if they look after them. So this is one better way of preserving the actual handwriting. Scanning, of course, is the other third way, which is the modern popular way. We started off with a small flatbed scanner, but of course when you've got 15,000 books to do, and plus the books that we have, many of them are in very poor condition. They have not been looked after. Pages are, you know, eaten by acid. They're very brittle. So you can't scan these on a flatbed scanner, because when you press them face down, it breaks the spines, it smashes the binding, and it means, you know, that you have to handle the books very extensively. Just this week, I've just sent the deposit money for this professional scanner, library scanner. This is about 30 inches square. It's about 3 feet high. The scanner equipment is in the top. There's a monitor to show you as you scan. Screen, professional software, enables you to do the cataloging on the spot. And this has this feature with this V cradle. That means we can sit a book into the V cradle without smashing the binding, without harming the pages. And then you just press a couple of buttons. In 3 seconds, you've got your image. So in this way, you can do 600 or more pages per hour. So this is what many libraries use now. They've just imported this from GE. He's just informed me yesterday that we have the machine. We're ready to ship it to West Bengal. So we'll be getting that in a couple of weeks. So, of course, everything that we have, this is meant not just for ISKCON devotees. It's actually meant for all academics, people or organization. They can use this resource. So we've had a few visitors. This is Joseph O'Connell. He met Prabhupada twice. I was there the second time. He was the leading scholar on Gaudiya Vaishnavism in America. They have a collection of Gaudiya Vaishnav works in Toronto University. He had connections with Dhaka University, so every year, even after retirement, he was visiting Dhaka. He came through Calcutta in December. He told us that we have one of the best resources of Gaudiya Vaishnav literature that he's ever seen. Unfortunately, he just died in May of a brain hemorrhage at the age of 71, so we'll sorely miss his input. But this gentleman here, Sannyasi, is His Holiness General Secretary of the Gaudiya Mission. They are the Gaudiya group that control and run the Bagh Bazar Temple, which is where Sundarananda used to have this whole library. So we invited him to come over to show him it. He looked around. He told us, actually, he said, all of these books used to be in our temple, but Sundarananda took them away. He said, we tried to buy the whole, but they wouldn't sell it to us. He said, so now you have it. But he said, anyway, I can see it's in good hands. So we're developing a nice relationship with him. And some exchanges going on, so we look forward to working with them more in the future. So a few comments. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, you must all know, our GBC. In 1975, he was requested by Prabhupada to investigate in Mayapur. So he made some investigation, he reported back, and he told Prabhupada that the first thing that we need is to set up a first-class library. Because without a first-class library, you can't have an acceptable educational institution. In 1976, when Prabhupada was in Bombay, in Juhu Beach, he ordered the devotees, Giriraj, at a library in the new temple. And he wanted all of his own works. He wanted all the works of all the acharyas. And he wanted all the Vedic literature in that library. Somehow or another, they never got it together to create that library. So when we started this project in 2009, we decided to fulfill that desire of Srila Prabhupada. So we don't just have Gaudiya Vaishnav works. We have from the Madhvacharya, from the Ramanujacharya Sampradayas, and we have all the Vedic literatures as well. So it's a complete resource. So Ravindra Sroop came and visited. He actually was also played a part. He introduced me to Pranava in 2008, and that's how we got together. So as he says there, this is the manifestation of the desire of Srila Prabhupada, and it is wonderful to see it. So he's very happy with it. Indradumna Maharaj, of course, is one of our biggest supporters. Very excited. He's taken a lot of photographs, and he's been publishing some of those on his Facebook page on the internet. Ashlyn Aronin is a professor, invaluable asset for my research. Lucien Wong is doing his PhD at Oxford University. He spent 3 weeks with us earlier this year. He's coming again in August for 1 month. As he says, the library collection is extremely impressive, and the library staff were extremely helpful and friendly. Ruby Sain is a professor at Yadavpur University. It's one of the main universities of Calcutta. It's impossible to collect such treasure within such a short period of time. This is indeed marvelous for future generations of India and other countries. She's working with Pranava Prabhu to set up a course on the sociology of religions at Yadavpur University. And she said that when they get set up with that course, she'll be sending their students to come and use our library as a chief resource. Of course, all the stuff that we have nowadays, if you don't have a website, you don't exist. So we've got a website, brcindia.com. It's still in its beta version, but again, a tutor this week, he just informed me that they've just finished cataloguing the entire Sundarananda collection, and that catalog is now on the website. So you can log on there and see what we've got. The other 11,000 books, 12,000 books, we will be cataloguing and putting all that up. And then as we scan all the works, all the images of each title will be added. Eventually, of course, there'll be hundreds of thousands of images on the website. So this is a very important program. Anybody from around the world can access the library without coming to Calcutta. If you do come to Calcutta, you are more than welcome. As well as setting up the library, I also got the money to set up 5 air-conditioned, renovated and modernized, air-conditioned, Wi-Fi, attached baths, and for a very small contribution, you can stay there in the same building as the library. Or if you are coming through to Mayapur and you want to visit the library, take a break, stop off. We're about 20 minutes from the ISKCON Center at Albert Road. We're in south central Calcutta. And you can stay overnight in our guest rooms, and you can see the library and get some inspiration. And whatever little that we funds goes to supporting the library. For the future, of course, we're always acquiring more books. We're not just about old books. We're also about new books, just like Radhanath Maharaj's books, Shivanaram Maharaj's books, Mukunda Maharaj's books, anybody's books that are coming out that are bona fide. We're also an ongoing collection program, and we hope that that will go on, of course, for generations. We want, you know, we're starting off in a small way. So we want to see our library, you know, become on the scale of the National Library or any of those other places. The manuscript mission is very important. There was a national mission for manuscripts set up by the Indian government some years back. They collected 2 to 3 million images. They have a website. But they didn't do very much in West Bengal. I don't know why, but they didn't. So we've made West Bengal our priority because that's our main place anyway. And Bengal means Bangladesh also. So when a minority way that the Hindu community was in East Pakistan and then later on Bangladesh, what usually happens is that any treasures that they have, they send them out of the country to save them, or they hide them. Yeah, they bury them. So we figure that in Bangladesh there must be many, many families. They may have hidden them away. Now the newer generations may not even know about them, or they may not even care for them. So we'd like to spend some time touring Bangladesh and seeing what we can find, because most of our main acharyas, like Narottam Das Thakur, they're all from what is now Bangladesh. So who knows what we can find there. Scanning and preservation, we've talked about, that's ongoing. There's a little